Everybody got your sword ready to learn today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going back to building a great life or a good life in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to talk to you today. We're going to camp out on faith for a little while today. And we're adding to. And I'm really excited about when we get to self-control. I've been studying and reading and I thought, you know, that is one of the keys, I believe. And we won't get to that today. Maybe, hopefully, next Sunday or Sunday after. But that is really one of the keys. So I just wanted to plant a seed in there about self-control. When you're thinking about your life and about what happens, and just like with Mom getting ready to cross over into eternity, that was my first thought yesterday morning when I woke up. We left Friday night late and came home, and as my first thought yesterday was, Mom's getting ready to cross over into eternity where Jesus is and Moses is, and my Mama and Papa Lynch, her mom and dad. In fact, she's calling. She's been asking for her mother. And I noticed that in a kind of a as a pattern in some of the my grandmother, her mom, a few years ago when she crossed over at 102, by the way. And for all you health fanatics, she ate sausage and biscuits and gravy almost every morning. So no telling how long she'd lived if she'd eat healthy. One thing about her generation, though, they worked. My little, in fact, I have a picture in my mind. I wish I had had a phone like I do today, but when she was here and still out on the farm, she had 110 acres and she was out there and she was sitting on her cellar. They had a little cement cellar and she'd put all of her canned goods down in there and she had on a little bonnet. You remember those little bonnets that had slats in them and they would, you know, curve over and she had one of those on with, and it's way out here, you know, to keep the sun off her face and had a little hoe. My dad had made her a hoe with like a broom handle, so it was a little bitty handle, and a little bitty hoe on the end of it, and she'd go out and chop weeds. In fact, the last year she was still out on the farm, Dad planted a whole row of tomatoes, and she went and chopped all of them down because she didn't know, she lost discernment of what they were. And so, but they worked. You know, they worked. They didn't sit and play videos or watch TV or all that kind of stuff. They worked. And so, just a little side note there, you can, if you want to have a good long life, you can eat a little unhealthier if you work. That's all free. It's not even part of the message, but I won't charge any extra for that today. Just a little health tip. Not a very good one, but it's a health tip. All right. For 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, and we'll do a little review, and then I want to get into faith today. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And remember, we said the first thing, if you're going to add these things to your life that he's talking about, is the first thing is identify your major role as a Christian is a bondservant, not whatever else you are. It's not pastor or praise leader or whatever you do in your community, architect or builder or teacher. You know, that's secondary to being a bondservant of Jesus Christ. So that's just really important, I think, that we remember that. Our first calling and our first priority in the kingdom is bondservant. And in fact, I may just say this. I got a call from Jan Murray this week, and she said, I just want you to know. And first I thought she was going to tell me about Jana. She said, does Jan ever listen to your tapes of your sermons? And I said, well, not. And I thought, oh, my God, what did I say about Jana? And she said, well, she needs to listen to them. And I thought, well, I can't remember saying anything bad about Jana. And, you know, that she would get on to me today about it. And so anyway, she says, you know what, you were hard on yourself and you painted a negative picture of yourself last Sunday when you talked about your calling and your gifts, and you're not as hard as you painted that to be. And people that don't know you like I know you would think you're a lot harder person than you are, and so you need to watch that kind of stuff. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I'm a lot better than I painted my picture last week, just in case you wanted to know. I am a bondservant, and I try to be a bondservant. I try to say, I know, you know, to, and what I was trying to get at last week, and I guess I didn't do it in a Jan Murray type approval way, but I was trying to say each person has a gift, and each person has areas of where they're lacking. And mine is not a shepherding, doting person. You know, it's not. And if I seem like I don't dote, it's just not in my. I don't have the doting call. You know, it's not in me to dote over people. It's, you know, I love people and I'm a people person and I like to interact. But you know, when it comes to having that shepherding, or like Jerry has the gift of grace, I've never seen a more stronger gift of grace in anybody than Jerry Nicely. When anytime she hears about somebody that's hurting, she takes it. It goes way down in here, and so we need that kind of people to know that somebody looks in your eyes and they feel for you and they attach to you. When you have somebody that has a gift of mercy, for instance, when you hurt and you tell them, you're going to know they really care. Somebody like me, you're going to have to discern and know and trust that I really care. And I hope I don't get in trouble again this week. I'm not trying to. But you can call me I give you permission, you know. But you know what I'm saying. So I appreciate her saying that. But so that's what I want to be a bondservant first, and then a pastor or whatever else I am. But I was just trying to make that distinction that all of us have areas of lack, and all of us have areas of strength. And when we mix those all together, it creates the body of Christ, and it's beautiful. That's why he put some strength in you and that I need, and some strength you need in me, so we could complement each other and have a balanced body. That, you know, if we all had the gift of mercy, we would have no joy. Because people that have the gift of mercy, he said, if you exercise that gift, do it with joy. Because what happens if you have that kind of gift, and you can probably testify to this, that it can drag you down. Because when you take on a hurt of somebody else, it's hard to shake loose of it, you know, until you just get it prayed through or whatever it is. Same with the intercessor. When an intercessor has something given to them, they take it and drag it along for a long time and carry it for a long time. And if you don't have the gift of intercession, you don't do that. You pray and you give it to God and everything's good. But so it's just a distinction I was trying to make last week. Verse 2, or the latter part of verse 1, to those who have obtained like precious faith. And so the first thing I want you to know, because we're going to camp out on faith for a little while today, you have obtained like precious faith if you belong to Christ. And you obtained it not of yourself. We'll look at that. It's a gift. But everybody has faith to a degree. And I'll show you a scripture here in just a minute. But just I want you to just put that in your heart, that when we struggle through things, just to know that you have faith. You know, you may say sometimes, well, I don't have faith in this area. Well, you have a precious faith, he says, that has been obtained through Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, what he's done, and also, we'll come back to that in a minute, but I just want you to get that in your heart, that you have a degree or a measure of faith already that's been given to you by God, no charge. So anything that, when life throws you a curve, you need that faith. Just know in your heart that you do have faith. Now the question is, are you building your faith? Is it growing? Because how many, he's given us a seed of faith, a measure of faith, but we're to grow that faith. And so that's the question we have to have. And how many knows how you can put a gauge on whether your faith is growing or not? By the fruit that your life produces. You know, building the good life, I told you at the start of this series that you are today exactly what you are and where you are because of what you have built. Some people is proud of that. Some people say, no, I'm not. They made me this way. No, they didn't. That's a lie from the pits of hell. People didn't make you like you are. Now, your environment and your culture and all those kind of things had a impact. You know, we all have that. Experiences that you've had. I've never lost my mom. I've always had a mom. And that's always been one of my greatest heartbreakers, if you say, I don't know how to express it really, but it tears at my heart when somebody loses their mother. You know, I hate when people lose their mother. Now I'm about to lose my mother here on this earth, and I always just, you know, when, like one of my cousins, we're double cousins. His mom and my mom were sisters. His mom and, or his dad and my dad were brothers. So we're like brothers, and we grew up close together geographically. And so when he lost his mother, just tore me up, you know, because we were very close, and his mother was such a servant. I mean, she was such a servant. And so when you know, and I see people. And then when Jan lost her mother, you know, my mother told her when she lost her mother, she told me yesterday as we was walking on the track. She said, "Your mom told me," and she said, because she's really close to Jana and just dotes over Jana, you know, and so she said, back when we were there, that's the only thing they said she won't respond. And so before we left late Friday night, I had prayer with her, just prayed in her ear, whispering a prayer. And Jana got down on her face and told her, "I love you." And she said, "Love you." You know, and that was one of the few things she breathed out that day. And so it was just a touching moment, you know. But God gives us what we need, doesn't He? He gives us what we need when we need it. So, but we have that faith to go through. And don't forget, you've built your life on all these experiences, but it's more about, and I want to talk to you more about this in self-control, it's more about how you responded to the what happened to you than it is about what happened to you. I'll give you a little teaser there, because what happened to you is one thing. How many knows we call that life? What happens to everybody? Everybody, if you're here long enough, you're going to lose all your loved ones. You know. So that's life. It's just going to happen. That's a part of living, and I think it's really a part of dying is a great part of living, because now to know that she's going to cross over and not have any more suffering and no more feeding tubes. She's been on a feeding tube for, you know, 3 or 4 years now, and my mother's a great cook, and to stand and she'd take her little walker in there and go into the kitchen and pull out the frying pan, and when we went down Thanksgiving, she was walking around with a frying pan on her little seat, you know, cooking. That's what she did, you know. And people say, "Oh, she shouldn't be cooking." And I say, "You leave her alone. Let her just struggle on over to the kitchen." That's what she does. And sometimes she'd forget to put sugar in the cake. So in the last little holidays or so is like, wonder if it's going to be a sweet pie or just a regular pie, you know. Some people get onto my dad for gardening, you know. He's a big garden, probably as big as this, you know, he has a couple areas, probably almost big as this sanctuary. And my sisters one time said, "You need to tell Dad to quit gardening. He's just wearing himself out." And I said, "Well, let him wear himself out. That's what he does. He's a gardener." I mean, those gardeners need to garden. Cooks need to cook. Moms need to be mamas, you know. And my mother, she'd always, I mean, she'd tell me if I need to be told, she'd tell me. Because she's going to be my mother until she crosses over, and then she'll be something else, you know. And so life gives you experiences and things, but just live it out to the best of your ability and let the experience grow you and not harm you. Because you've been given faith. He said, we've obtained faith to go through experiences that we have to go through. And so take the faith and say, I'm going to be better and not bitter. I'm going to take the experience, and when I come through this, I'll have a greater understanding of somebody else that's went through this, and I'll help them, and then the cycle will continue, and I'll just get better and richer instead of bitter-hearted and angry and all those sort of things. So we've obtained this faith, and life will give us experiences, but take those experiences in the light of this word. Remember he said in the verse 9, he said, if you don't add these things, here's what's going to happen. This is what you'll look like if you and I don't add these things to our life and build our faith and build our virtue and build our brotherly kindness and build our love. If we don't build it, he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. He's short-sighted and even to blindness. Don't you know people that's just blind as they can be in areas of life? I do. I know. In fact, I know some of you well enough to know some of you sitting here today are just blind as you can be in areas of blessing. That you don't think about how blessed you are in areas that you don't never talk about it. You talk about what a struggle it is, and you're sitting in blessing. And I don't know how to help you. You know, I've tried to help, but that's the way it is. When we're blind in areas, if we add to our lives these things he's talking about, we need to add to. And that's I'm 55, and Olin's older than that. But we're still adding to, aren't we? He still studies the Word. He still listens to He still comes to church. He's still got preachers on his TV. We're adding to what we know so we can be better where we are. And so that's a never-ending process to be added. But he says the reverse side of that, if you don't add these things to, because you're in a different stage, a different season, he said you're going to be short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, the things that's really... Remember when Jesus' disciples came back and they were rejoicing because of Satan? They had authority over Satan and all this demonic activity, and they were just... And he said, hey, let's don't get things out of order here. He said, rejoice because what? Your name is written in the book of life. Because we get our rejoicing off in doing supernatural things, and I've watched this in the charismatic and the full gospel churches. You get your focus off on the supernatural, and they start following the gifts instead of the Creator, and they get way out of balance and stuff. I've seen that happen. And those turn into crazy churches. You know, there's no balance, and they start looking for demons under every rock, and it's just, you know, and the thing of beauty that God gave them, they started pursuing that instead of the Creator, and now it's just everything's out of balance. Same way with us in life. We may not pursue spiritual gifts and all in our life, but you can pursue education. You can pursue your children. You know, when your children become everything your whole life, that's not healthy. It's not. My children are my life. Well, they shouldn't be your life. You should love them with all your heart, but that's not balance. And that causes divorces when your children are all your life. Because now if my child's all my life, and then and dad or mom says something to hurt my child that I don't think they need to be talking about, well, now you're my enemy, or you're my, and the division starts, and the kids start playing because they're real discerning. Kids are sharp, aren't they? And so they can start pitting you against one another, and so that's why we need to have a balance in everything and add to all this stuff, because if we don't, he says, you'll become blind in areas, and your blindness will become your weakness and your struggles, and you won't see anything. That's why when people come in for counseling, usually one of them is or both of them are blind in areas. And they say stuff like, well, he never, she never, she always, he never, you know, and they use this, and they start using exaggerated terms, and all of a sudden now there's no working it out. If you're going to use exaggerating terms, you ought to use it, and God's always faithful. I can always be an overcomer through Christ. I will never enjoy sin. You know, say things that this says about nevers and always and stuff. So just know that we're going to be blinded and short-sighted if we don't add to the things he's talking about here. And he says, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember, it says graciousness, grace to grow in. We all have an area to grow in. One of the things that I've really enjoyed in the last year or so, and I told Jana I was walking yesterday, and I said, I think coaching has helped me even, is to not to be so judgmental of people. Because in coaching, you don't really tell people, you ask questions. And you don't try to fix people, you ask what do they want to do. And so it's really a freeing thing when you as a leader, because we've been trained to, you know, people come in for a fix, right? I got to fix them. I got to give them direction. I've got to give them. And in coaching, it's just opposite. You just say, well, I don't know what you need. Don't have a clue what you need. And so when you leave a coaching session, you just walk up and you say, I don't know. What do you need? I don't know. God knows. And you know. And I'm going to ask enough questions to help get you there so you'll know. I'm going to ask some personal, we call it, you know, under the surface questions, so it'll help you answer some things in your life that you'll know, because now you went under the surface and you're really looking. How many knows a lot of times we're just all operating up here on the surface? How you doing? Fine. You're dying on the inside and we're just fine. You know, up, just right underneath here, we're just dying in the inside and we're all, you know, and we're not fine. You know, we just had a big fight, or we just got laid off, or something, you know, but we're fine. You know, and so just a little bit below the surface is where we really live, isn't it? It's where the truth is inside of us, and where we operate. And God says, I give you grace I give you this room to grow, and peace. I give you prosperity. I give you blessing, and that would probably be a better translation for our word today is graciousness and prosperity. Be multiplied to you and in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. This is where the blessing is in the knowledge of knowing this. That's why, listen, how many ever just be honest today and say, you know, sometimes when I'm reading my devotions during the day, it's just dry and I don't feel, you know, I get lost and I could, what did that mean? Anybody ever been there but me? Yeah. In fact, it's a great sleep aid at night, isn't it? You know what? Just keep on batting your eyes and wondering what it means and keep on getting your devotions, because he said, you know what? This works. This is more knowledge in who Christ and God is. And regardless of how you feel, I mean, no, sometimes when you go to the breakfast table, you don't feel like eating. You just need to. You know, sometimes you just need to. You know, I eat cereal almost every day during the week. And that is not because I just love cereal. Ooh, cereal. You know. But I've grown to appreciate it because it's healthier for me than greasy stuff. And so, you know, I go out and splurge on my weekend. And Saturday we used to have that greasy breakfast, you know. But my discipline through the week is we're going to eat more healthy. And so it's not that I enjoy it. I mean, you get to enjoy the results. That's what it is when you get your devotions. You get the spiritual results of what you've been digesting, even though it didn't seem like it tastes good today, or it didn't accomplish what you hoped it to accomplish, or it didn't feel. We put a lot of emphasis on how we feel, don't we, when we're in the Word and stuff, and we really shouldn't. The just shall live by faith. Did you know in my study with faith, it's in the Strong's under my dictionary, it's 231 times the word faith is mentioned. Guess how many times it's mentioned in the Old Testament? Two. One is talking about where they had no faith, children of no faith, and the other time is Habakkuk where he said, the just shall live by his faith. Two times. You know why they didn't need faith in the Old Testament? Because they were under the law. They didn't teach faith under the law. In the 229 times it's mentioned in the New Testament because we're people under a new covenant. It's upon our heart. And we're not subject, we're not, you know, the law doesn't rule us. Grace rules us now. And Jesus in our heart is what rules us now. We should have a want to, you know, a desire to live righteous lives. And we can do that by faith. So 229 times in the New Testament. And if it's mentioned that many times under the covenant you set under, then I thought I might want to spend some time on that. Because faith is everything. Faith is everything. If your faith is off, as a Christian in foundation, you know, Paul says it like this, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. You know, I'd be stressing right now if I didn't have faith in eternity and faith from my mother where she was crossing over. I'd really be stressing for her. But to know, he said, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. And this is a beautiful transaction, and we still have the missing them in the physical presence sense. But this is a time when we should be rejoicing and looking at it like God looks at it. And to be honest with you, the older I get, and the more pains I have, the better heaven looks. And I'm not, you know, and I love life. I'm having a great time right now. We're at a good place in our life and just enjoying what we have and what God's blessed us with and relationships and the ministry. I mean, you know, Jana is loving her job and you know, she's finally feels like she's recognized and paid for what she does and is. And so we're just having a wonderful time. But to say that, you know, by faith, I have a good life here, and I've got great expectancy there. That's faith, isn't it? And let me give you something else. Everything you come up against in life, and if your faith is not healthy and your faith is not right, you're going to struggle. I'm going to struggle. But if our faith is right, and we know what God's, we've got a balance in our life, and we're adding all these things to our lives that He says we ought to add, regardless of what we come up against, it's not going to be muddy and unclear. That's why Jesus, remember Lazarus was dying, and he looks at his disciples, and he says, Lazarus is sick, we need to go. And he said, well, if he's sick, why don't we just leave him alone and let him rest? And I'll never figure out why he told him sick. I don't know why he told him that. If you got some insight on that, you can share later with me. Why didn't he just say? And finally he says, he's dead. And when he first got the word about his sickness, he didn't go, did he? He didn't go. And it's really kind of confusing if you look at it in the natural, because, well, if he didn't go whenever he got the word that he's sick, why would he go now that he said he's dead? And then his disciples were kind of like me. They're just scratching their head like, what is this? And you have to attribute this to his faith. Faith to do the will of God. That's why I think it's fine, and I pray it almost every day of my life, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because I don't know. And here's what I've went used to when I thought I knew always knew the will of God. I was disappointed a lot of times. How about you? So I thought, well, you know, maybe there is something to that prayer Jesus gave us. Because, yeah, I'd pray one way and stand in faith, and it'd happen another way, and I'd just be blown apart. Now what do I do? You know, do I stand in faith again? And so this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, God, there's something going on in heaven today, and so whatever that is, whatever's on your agenda, make it known to me, and by faith, give me the ability to walk into that obedience and into that sphere of the thing that you're doing today. Kind of like your dad's vision for your home. Did you ever try to go against his vision for his home? Dad says, we don't do that here. And you tried to do that here? How many found out his will would be done? And sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. And I've even told my dad this, well, everybody else is. And he said, well, not everybody, son, because you're not. I used to hate that. Everybody's not, you're not. I thought he didn't get it, but he got it, didn't he? He's just trying to get me to get it, wasn't he? That was his will. You know, he knew he had a plan, a vision for our home that he had discerned. And as when I'm living at his house, and so I understood that by faith as a dad, then I have to set my values and morals and my rules, if you will, to say this is how we'll act in our house. And here's one I came up with: if you live in my house that I pay rent for, if you're living here, and after my son graduated from school and 2 or 3 stabs at college, and he still hadn't joined the service yet, I said, as long as you're here, we go to church. You don't have an option here. Now, if you don't live here, you don't have to go to church. If you live here, you can't put up posters of ladies in bikinis here. Even in your room, you can't do that here. And here's why: it promotes lust, and we don't promote lust here. You know, and those sort of things. I had to decide what we do here, and so it didn't matter if he come in 2 or 3 in the morning when Sunday comes. Get up, time to go to church. I'll see you at the house of God. We stopped at the donut shop over on Penn, and a little guy was standing there in his little leather coat, and he greeted us when we come in, and he asked the little girl when it came his time to get a donut, said, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm just busy. He said, well, this is the Lord's day. You ought to be happy. I thought, you can tell it's just his, that was his value. That's where he sat. That's what he looked at. This is the Lord's day. And you ought to be happy, you know. Just giving out a little encouragement, a little hope, setting it out there. Okay? Now, watch in verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things, remember we talked about last week, that pertain to life and godliness. So, we've been given faith, we've obtained faith, and we've been provided divine power. Listen to me, when you say, I can't do this anymore. Well, no, you can't, but through God, through divine power, you can. Divine power. You've been given. By faith, you have to believe it. By faith, But you can take hold of it, and faith will activate this divine power that you've been given to be stronger than you are, and stronger, as strong as you need to be, because God, how many knows, He's plenty strong for whatever comes our way. That's why Paul said, Paul had a handle on what I'm talking about this morning, and that's why he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And that's the attitude we should have, because we've obtained precious faith, and we've been given divine power as given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory. And that's a clear apparent calling and virtue and excellence is what it's saying. Verse 4, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's why we need to hang in there with the Word. When your devotions aren't just on fire, just hang in there. That'll get in your spirit, and you'll get something you need, and you're just getting the good stuff in, and the good stuff will come out. You know, we had a really good year here financially. I mean, a really good year. And we give more this year. And what was taught, we mentioned when Eric was talking about somebody calling and saying, is this a church that gives you $5 to come to church? I said, and somebody mentioned, said, no, but we did give $10, didn't we, or something. And they said, yeah, we gave $10 to plant seeds. Remember that? Back the first part of last year? And I thought, you know, I forgot about that, but how many knows God didn't forget? It was written down. And what we did one Sunday morning, we talked about planting seeds, and we gave everybody that would come forward, and we gave you $10 to go out and plant a seed somewhere. And I don't know, we gave, what, $500 or $600 away? Is that what it was? Something like that? And $10 bills. And we had a lot of great... And what I loved about it mostly was just the people would come back and they'd say, you know, I really prayed and I really felt like God wanted me to, you know, over $10. You know, it wasn't just 10 to you, it was $10 from seed from God, and gave it away and heard some of your stories. But I thought, we forgot about that seed, but that was probably a part, too, of our having a blessed year. Because we planted and just by faith and saw God work. And then last week we talked about in the latter part of verse 4, through these you may be partakers of divine nature. You'll have a godlike growth is what that means, as you grow in these things. And you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we looked at Lot, remember, last week, and it's over in the second chapter of Peter. I mean, the second chapter of Peter, the next chapter over. And we looked at his life last week, and how God delivered this man that was really hard to see any godliness in his life, but He delivered him in a miraculous way from Sodom and Gomorrah. And so sometimes, you know, you don't, how many be honest and say, you know, there are mornings I just don't feel real holy when I get up. And if you do, by the end of the day, you don't feel real holy, you know, because everybody and their dogs has shot at you or poked at you or got on your last nerve, you know, and so you just don't feel, and listen, the just shall live by faith, not how you feel. And if Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, how many knows you are clean? And the world will try to taint us, but we get in this and so we can keep our thoughts right and our eyes clear so we can see. Now, and he says in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. He says, make an earnest effort. This means to do with speed or to dispatch. You know, how many knows you are the keeper of your soul and your heart? You can't blame anybody else for how you feel and what you think and how you operate and how you react, you know. I mean, if you're grown and you're a Christian, you can't say, well, I act like that because my mother. I'm just like her. We're all that way. I've heard families grow up and prophesy that over themselves. Oh, we're all high-tempered here. I thought, you ought to just start saying, we're all idiots in this house. You know what I'm saying? Call it what it is instead of saying, oh, we're all... When it contradicts the Scripture, we need to just cowboy up, if you will. When we're contradicting Scripture and we're trying to call it hereditary or something, and it's a behavior that we're displaying and it's not Christ-like, and it's better to know here than to wait till you get to the judgment seat and He explains it to you. Because now we have an opportunity to be transformed here. We have an opportunity to change that and to break old patterns that's been in our families, you know. If you grow up in a family where everybody, you know, somebody does one of your family members wrong, everybody's mad, well, then you need to break that. That's not Scripture. That's walking in this blindness he's talking about. To say it's not about we should teach whoever comes against us, we're going to teach restoration, right? We're going to teach how to get along and how to be a blessing in a mess. Jan and I talked about confrontation yesterday and conflict, and she had to lay three or four people off Friday. And she's very skilled at it. She does it with dignity, and she does it letting them know this is why you missed the mark and here's what you need to bring up, and she works very hard at that and trying to but people have to take responsibility. You know, you ought to teach your kids, you know, it's not going to be as easy when you leave this house. I was proud of Caden the other night. We went for ice cream. We always go and get a little ice cream with our kids on Wednesday nights. Just always want them to associate God with something sweet, don't you? Something they enjoy, and they enjoy it. So we'll go by and get him an ice cream. He's wanting to go to Australia and kill a red stag. I assume that's a deer. And he said, it's going to cost $1,500, Papa. He said, if I can come up with $750, can you? I said, no. But I admire that, don't you? You know, that they say, you know, that's just a little faith working, I think, to say, you know, there's some blessings to be expected here, and I'm living the life, and so I thought it was a good offer, you know, good challenge to me and all. But to seek what you want to do, we have to have it with intention. How many know if you're going to have a good life, it's going to be because you put intention to it. You were intentional about having a good life. If you want to have a scattered life, you just put a lot of attention on nothing. You know, your attention is not focused on anything. Any area of life, I've learned, any area of life, if you really focus on it and put a lot of attention on it, you can do really well. Did you ever notice that? Lance Armstrong rides a bicycle, makes millions of dollars. Who'd have thought if you get up one morning, if I really focus on riding a bicycle, I could become a millionaire. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? I saw him on a commercial yesterday, you know, with some riding his bike up in the mountains. I forget what he's advertising, but he's just still making millions of dollars because he rode a bicycle really well. This is what he's talking about, that kind of attention, that kind of focus. I have a 16-year-old. He just turned 16, bought his first car. He's got money in the savings. He's got money in his checking, makes his own way. And him and two or three others, they homeschool themselves, A students, and they're bull riders. In fact, when we were there went down for Christmas, he and his two little buddies from Texas were going to get 3 o'clock in the morning and head to Missouri to ride a rodeo. That's focus, isn't it? Then he went there and won some money and won the overall, and then he went to Texas and won second or so and won some more money, and one of his other little buddies won some money, and then on his last ride in Texas, he got thrown off and a bull just stepped right on his little ankle and broke his ankle. So he's off for 6 weeks or so, he said. You know what he said? He's off for 6 weeks. He said, you know, I've enjoyed this vacation. I needed a little break. 16-year-old kids. That's focus, isn't it? That's what he's saying here. If you want to do this, you can do it, or you can do it the way the Bible says, with diligence. This speed, this eagerness, this earnestness. And really have the life that Jesus said that I left for you. He said, my peace I give to you and I've left you life and come that you can not only have life, but you could have it more abundantly. And so if you're living below abundant life, you're living below your privileges that Jesus said you could live. You know. And here's something else. You're not exercising your faith. I know that because if we're exercising our faith, we're going to live the abundant life Jesus said we could live. So how many knows it's up to us? It's up to us. So he says, given diligence, you know, given diligence, add to your faith. And I want to take you just a few places on faith right quick. Look in Romans 12:3. Get a little shot of water here. My throat's just a little. Last night it was a little sore, and I got up and put a cough drop in my mouth. And how many knows that's a dangerous thing? I woke up this morning, and it was stuck to my tongue, and I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. That's a lot better than the back of my throat. Romans 12. Well, let's just look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because it's talking about, Paul's talking about this same thing that Peter's talking about, this diligence in finding and adding to our lives to become more like Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I think that's another reason we should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, God, whatever's going on in heaven, reveal it to me today. Whatever's going on your agenda, reveal it to me today so I can be a part of that. And so he says, and then we become a living sacrifice, holy, and you know, we're keeping ourselves holy as we're adding these things in 2 Peter he's talking about, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Everybody say reasonable. You know, most dads that I know, we think when we're teenagers and they've got all these rules, they're not very reasonable, but when the older you get, the more you know that was pretty reasonable. That was pretty reasonable. And I see kids looking at their daddies right now, but that's... the older you get, the smart... Here's something else. The older you get, the smarter daddy gets. You know, you get 16, 17, he just uncool, don't know much, but boy, the older you get, the more daddy... You know, he really kind of knew what he was doing, didn't he? Do not be conformed to this world. How many knows that's a real problem right now? I'm going to talk to you about that when I get to self-control, how we're losing boundaries. Because really self-control is about establishing boundaries all around where you are and how to keep those in focus. And here's something that we talked about a little bit Wednesday night with the Bible students. How many can remember when we used to just have a telephone with a wire on it at home? And then they advanced that and they give us what was called a pager. In other words, I can connect with you anywhere you are in the world now, or you know, within that signal. And that started it, didn't it? And then we went on to BlackBerries and cell phones and iPads and all this other stuff. But it's harder and harder not to be conformed to this world. That's why in your sleepy devotions, just go ahead and flesh it out. Get some of this because we need this because, I mean, we're going to get a little bit of world every day. Every day. So go ahead and get a little word every day or you will be conformed. But be transformed. And that's what 2 Peter's talking about is as we're adding this to us, it's going to lead to transformation by the renewing of your mind. I see things different because I see God's Word and how He looks at it. Now, I'm going to take my mind and I'm going to transform it to this instead of what's up here and how I've been taught or culture's taught me that goes against the grain of what God's taught. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many knows a well-run home knows what Daddy believes in and what Daddy supports and what Daddy won't tolerate? Back when I was growing up, if you came into my house and you know, I grew up in the country, you know, with country boys and cowboys and construction workers and the tough crew. But all of us kids knew. I mean, from the time I was little, if you come into our house and you start cursing and swearing, oh, Daddy's gonna get you, and he would. He'd say, "Excuse me." We don't talk like that in our house. It didn't matter how old you were or how... this was his house and he would set the order and the tone would quickly come back in and we all had respect and we knew we didn't have foul language in our house. I mean, we serve a God a whole lot like dads like that. That says, here's what I'm for, here's what I don't tolerate. Being hate... How many knows in our spiritual house, God doesn't tolerate hatefulness. Yeah, he doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff. So, knowing what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Now watch this in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone, everybody say everyone, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How many knows God knew that would be a problem with some of us? Some of you suffer from low esteem. Some of you suffer from thinking too much. But there's always a problem in there. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. God has dealt to each one a measure, a portion, a limited portion, but a portion of faith. We've obtained faith through Jesus Christ. He's given us a portion. In fact, look in Ephesians 2:8. This is the first thing that you receive as a Christian is faith. And how many knows it's the first thing we really need as a Christian? We've obtained precious faith. We've been given a measure, a limited measure, Romans 12, and now Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And I'm just trying to establish something here that you've been given a measure, you've obtained and given a limited portion of faith that you have so that you can do whatever God called you and go through and handle whatever you're going through today, because you have faith that has been given to you as a gift from God. And as he says, we've been saved, we've been rescued from hell, from eternal damnation, and from all the stresses and thing here that could get us down, and we should have be experiencing abundant life because God gave us faith. How many knows it takes a lot of faith to believe to be a Christian? How many has ever met Jesus personally? How many has ever got a phone call from him? How many has ever heard his voice? Audibly. I never forget a preacher. He said he went to somebody was suing their church, and they had him up on the stand because they thought he was preaching this word and it was wrong. And anyway, he took him to court, and the judge says to the guy, because he had some mental problems, he said, "Do you hear voices, sir?" And the preacher said, "I hope you don't ask me, because I hear voices. I hear God's voice all the time. What am I going to say?" And so I know we hear God's voice that way. That's how I knew to come from construction to ministry, and to do what God called me. So we hear His promptings and all, but it takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? All of you sitting here today, I assume, believes like a Christian believes that around 2,000 years ago, a guy named Jesus was sent from heaven and somehow was born of a virgin and then lived a sinless life and then died for me and you, and because he went to a cross for me and you in a country I've never been in, and I believe that now I'm clean. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? And then people look at you and me and say, "Well, how do you know?" And all we got is, "Well, I know by faith." That's all we got. That's our foundation. That's our whole foundation for Christianity. There's no videos. There's no, nothing that we live by faith. Everything we do is by faith. And then, so the first thing he does when we become Christian, he gives us this limited portion of faith, and he says, "This will get you to believing, and now you need to build on that faith." Now look at Romans 10:17. I like to hear the Bibles turning. And he's talking about, this is we've talked about the Romans road, and people take the people through, confess with your mouth the Lord and believe in your heart, Romans 10:9-10. And then the writer of Romans says, so then, faith comes by hearing. Remember your devotion time I was talking about? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so in your devotion time, and some people I know literally think hearing, so they read their devotions out loud. And that's okay if you do that. It might help you stay awake, huh? But I think if you're hearing, if we're getting these things off the page, just know that today, whether I feel good, whether I feel sleepy, whether I feel discouraged, whether I feel like I'm on a mountaintop, today I get my word and I am building my faith, period. I'm getting my faith built today. How many knows if you listen to negative stuff about the economy long enough, it'll drag you down? You know what that is? It's the opposite of what he's talking about here. You listen to negative long enough. In fact, when I was in college, I remember a research study saying if you put one man that walks healthy and is healthy, and you put him with 10 people that has a physical ailment and they limp, after a few months, that healthy person will limp. Here's another study that I heard. I thought was really interesting. They put a bunch of monkeys in a big circle pit, and they had a pole in this pit, and they put a banana up on the pole. And of course, a monkey, you know, they can just skim. But every time the monkey would skim up the pole, they would shoot it with a really high pressure of water, and it would come down. And one by one, they had like 10 monkeys in this experiment, and they replaced each one by one. So all 10 knew, but they'd never go up the pole. After all 10 quit, because they get this surge of water, they quit. And so they'd replace one by one. And the new monkey would come up and see the banana up there, and as soon as he'd start to try to skim the pole, the other monkeys would and pull him down. And the other monkey's like, "What?" And they replaced each monkey one by one until none of them had been squirted and all of them would pull him down and they didn't know why. Can I tell you something? We're a lot like monkeys. If the economist says, that must be the way it is. If that's what they say, it's going to get rough, so it's going to be bad. And you hear people all the time talking about how bad the economy is. And I don't mean this in a haughty way. I'm just blessed, but it's not bad for me. And I see some of you sitting in here. It's not bad for you. I'm just saying the just shall live by faith. And you've been given, and I've been given, an element of faith, and we need to work on that and walk in that and say and stop saying what the economist said and start saying what Jesus said. And I don't, you know, I don't preach, just claim it and have it, and I'm not, I don't preach you have positive thinking and that's going to change, and whatever you say, I don't believe that. I believe you need to have positive thinking and a lot of good deeds and action going along with your, you know, faith without works is what? Dead. But I believe when we operate in the faith and this measure of faith that God's given us, I don't think it is bad. I don't think we've even seen bad. Go to a third world country if you want to see bad. And here's what I've noticed in third world countries. People that have faith, they have all they need. And they're happier than a lot of people here in America. It's got a lot more stuff. So it's not about stuff. It's about operating on the faith that you've got, that God's given to you. And I'm telling you, it's a good place to be. He says, listen, church, we need to build diligently on this faith that we have. Diligently on this faith we have. Go one more place and I'll let you go. Hebrews 11 chapter. Hebrews 11 chapter. It's the faith book, isn't it? It's the faith book. I hope today you operate on. I hope you today you say, you know, for some of you who've been struggling in areas, I hope you say today, you know what, things are changing for me. I'm going to take the faith that God has given me, that measure. I know that it's there, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to build on it through reading this Word, and I'm never going to be the same again. I'm not going to have to fight this battle for the rest of my life. Amen? Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember a while ago I asked you, Jesus ever give you a call or have you ever seen him in person? And some people have. I mean, so I believe that. I believe some people, you know, that have said they're on their dying bed and Jesus appeared at the end of their bed. I think that really happens when their assignment's not over and miraculously the doctor's without, they know why. And here's what happens, though. When people, we don't walk in the discernment of Christ, we think God should do that for everybody if he's going to do it for one. And we have to go, thy kingdom, what? Come, thy will be done, and we have to trust Him. Just like you had to trust your daddy that He knows what's best for your house, and you don't like all the rules, but you're going to live by them because you know He loves you enough. If you don't live by them, you're going to suffer the consequences. That's what is in the kingdom of God. So, it's the things not hoped for. That's why I stand here today, and my heart is not, I feel the for my dad, I feel for my mom and not knowing that she won't be here, but that's why I stand here with a hopeful heart, and I stand here today with encouragement, because I know what my mother's fixing to cross over and in experience. You know, I just, and so I've never seen it. Boy, I've got hope. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You want a good testimony? How many knows where it comes from? by living by faith. When you start living by doubt and I start living by doubt, we start saying things and acting in ways and doing things we shouldn't be doing, and we won't have a good report. So faith is a good, it gives you a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are not seen, which are seen, were not made of things which are visible. I know a lot of people think, or some people think, that it's just a Big Bang theory, and you know, and it all evolved, and somehow or another we became, and you know, and I think that's just goofy, you know. Don't you? I just think that's goofy. You know, show us one half man, half ape. There should be a few running around, shouldn't there? If we evolved from that, show me one. Show me one, anything, you know. So it's just, it's goofy. But we believe that God created it, spoke this into existence. And the reason we believe that is because He put that measure of faith in you to believe that. That's why that's in your heart. That's why you can argue that with faith and not be ashamed, because God put faith in your heart to say, I believe it exactly like God said it. I got tickled when one guy was preaching. He said, there's a bunch of old theologians standing up on this mountain, and all the scientists are trying to figure out how this all came together and saying, come on up here and we'll tell you. By faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. You want to offer God an excellent sacrifice? You can do it by faith. Not by what you want to give of your life, your time, your talent, your resources, but by what God ordains you to give. That's when you can give a great, by faith. That's why people go off and they can literally change nations and change tragedies into triumph, because God gives them that challenge, and by faith they stand and they start doing what they can, and all of a sudden it changes everything. That's why some little kid, you know, can offer up some kind of little sacrificial gift and the community gets a hold of it and trying to correct something that's wrong or meet a need in the community, and all of a sudden there's thousands of dollars come in because one little kid stood and he heard from the voice of God and he began to give and plant something to help something to change and to grow and to meet a need, and all of a sudden God just brings in thousands of dollars because of the faith of one little kid. I mean, those, God's at work. God's at work. He's at work in my heart and your heart and your community and my community. By faith, he gave an offering that pleased God. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if we said, hey, where's Brad at? Oh, you know, he was so pleasing to God that he was walking along this week and whoop, God took him. Wouldn't that be cool? Where's Jeremy at? I hadn't seen him. Oh, he got taken. Man, I wish I'd have got taken, you know. Wouldn't that be something if he still did that? He may still do that, I don't know. But that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Especially the people you don't like. Wouldn't that be awesome? He won't take them. He leaves them here with us, doesn't he? Verse 6, and we'll close. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe. Everybody say, must believe. Must believe that He is. He is what? He is whatever you need. He's greater than whatever is you're facing. He is. And not only is He greater than that, but He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I was talking to my little granddaughter on the phone yesterday. We was walking the track, and I said, Haley, you're coming to Oklahoma. She lives in Spain. I said, you're coming to Oklahoma in about 3 weeks. I said, can I buy you a toy? She said, yep. Her brother got on the phone. He's about 9 or 10. He says, I said, Talon, I said, I was talking to your sister, and I asked her if I could buy her a toy when she came to Oklahoma, and she said, yep. I said, is that okay with you if I buy your sister a toy? There was a long pause. He said, I want a toy. Some of you need to be like my grandkids. Just know God's a rewarder. He knew if she got it, I need to get one. You need to say, if they're getting blessed, I need to get blessed. Because He is still blessing His kids by faith. By faith. You can't whine and you know, get down and lose all your faith and just, you know, gripe and complain and fret and all. By faith, He is still rewarded of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently doesn't mean you're not going to fall asleep. It doesn't mean you're going to have trouble even understanding. Diligently means I'm seeking you today because today I want to know your will. I want to know your character. I want to know your value so I can be blessed according to your scripture by faith. Faith is the foundation of everything you do and have and act and react. So today, let us build on our faith through hearing God's word. Make it a priority because it will depend on everything you do, everything you think, and the blessings that come in your life. Father, thank you for telling us from your word that we need to diligently seek all these things that you put in a row, all these things you put in your word in 2 Peter. And it starts with faith. If our faith is weak, it's going to affect everything that around us, everything we do and everything we say and everything we sense and the way we see things. And so I ask God to help us this year to have a great commitment just to getting along with you and getting in your word and building our faith. We need faith to see and to operate correctly, to be pleasing to you. We need faith because without it, we just read, it's impossible to please you. So help us, Lord, to be faithful students of your word so we can have the kind of faith that will please you and that we will be the recipients of reward that you want to give to us through faith. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises today. And we thank you, Lord, for taking us and reminding us that faith is very important. Reading your word is very, very important. So give us a renewed urgency, a renewed appreciation for your word today so we can walk by faith and please you. And all the church said, amen.